Morning, everybody. My name is Bill Haining. I'm one of the members here. You may remember when Katrina was reading that the passage started with, but they will not get away with this forever. Well, what is it that Paul was talking about? Well, let's go back to verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, where it says, you may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days, it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-hearted and never give in to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers and will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to be good. They will betray their friends. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer pleasure to worshiping God. They will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything they hear. Don't be taken in by people like that. They are the kind who craftily sneak into other people's homes and make friendships with silly, sin-burdened people and teach them their new doctrines. People of that kind are forever following new teachers, but they never understand the truth. And these teachers fight truth, just as Yannes and Jambres fought against Moses. They were the two magicians who did everything that Moses did when he was freeing the people of Israel. They have dirty minds, warped and twisted, and have turned against the Christian faith. And then we start where Katrina read, but they won't get away with that forever. Well, I hope you're finding what I'm saying on Paul's second letter to Timothy reasonably useful in your life. In chapter 1, I shared my thoughts on living in freedom. In the second chapter, living in power. And this morning, I want to share thoughts based on chapter 3 on living in contrast. And thank you, Katrina, for your very helpful illustrations with the young folk. I think we all understand this word contrast a bit more. There seems to be an almost universal acceptance that in Britain today, it is more difficult to be a Christian than ever before. If you take church attendance as a benchmark, the number of people who attend any kind of Christian church service has declined steadily over the past 20 years. Church statisticians now see at least two types of Christian living. They have called one type of Christian active Christian and the other nominal Christian. This would come as no surprise to Paul almost 2,000 years ago. Paul hints at this situation in verse 5 regarding some Christians who go to church, but where their attendance stops in their life. In my research, I came across some of the behavior patterns which relate to both active and nominal Christians. The lists that I'm going to put up, Graham, are not exhaustive, but I think they give a clear contrast in understanding 2 Timothy verses 3, verses 1 to 9, and the rest of the chapter. The active Christian believes in the Holy Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The active Christian carries out their beliefs in their everyday life. They put aside time to focus on God by Bible study, prayer, and reflection. They're engaged spiritually with other people, not just church attendance. They are devoted to spouse and family where applicable. They value forgiveness and reconciliation. They encourage others to form a relationship with God through belief in Jesus. They spend time serving other people and communities. Then we have the contrast, the nominal Christian. They identify as Christian in name only. They believe that there is a God, and he's generally happy with them. They attend church on holidays, usually Christmas and Easter. They believe that they are no worse than anyone else and often better than some. Have no personal relationship with Jesus through repentance and faith. Thank you. Paul, in this part of his letter to Timothy, is ensuring that Timothy is both forewarned and also forearmed in his pastoring of the church in Ephesus. Paul is saying, in effect, that as bad as things are now, particularly for himself, waiting for execution, for his faith, for Christians, they are going to get worse, as people think only of themselves and follow all sorts of ideas and ideologies. We live a totally different life to those Christians around the globe who are martyred and imprisoned just like Paul. His message to Timothy is equally valid for us today. If we are to make disciples in every nation, then we need to recognize the difficulties of living as an active Christian in today's society. Let me give you an example from my dad's experience. My dad, Bert Haining, who worshipped in this church in the early 1980s, along with my mum, Mary, loved to work. He came to Aberdeen from owning his own newsagent business in Dundee, working lots of hours, and worked for a time here as a taxi driver. Like me, he enjoyed driving and thought this would be a job he could do quite well. Such is the way of this world that he was forced out of that job because he carried out his beliefs in a way that showed up other people. He didn't disappear when he was needed. He was totally honest and didn't take fares and never declare them. He returned all the monies to the office at the required time. The contrast he created with his co-workers was so stark that he was threatened with physical attack if he did not conform to what his colleagues were seen to do. He was never, in fact, physically attacked, but the situation stole all the enjoyment from the job, so he left and moved on to a job with the Harbour Office in Aberdeen. I don't say this to show my dad in a very good light, but it does. But it shows the contrast between the simple practical things that we do as active Christians that form a contrast with our society. It's all very well for me to stand up here and point to some of these Bible lessons, but I fail often in my daily living, and sometimes I miss opportunities to demonstrate and speak of my faith and relationship with Jesus outside of these church walls. It would be all too easy to listen to Satan when he accuses me of hypocrisy. But by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, I and every other active Christian is given the opportunity to do better. Here in Paul's second letter to Timothy in chapter 3, reading from verse 9 to the end, we have a roadmap to help us to do just that. The first piece of practical advice is seen in verses 10 to 13. Follow the example of those godly men and women who have gone before, as well as those who are still living alongside us. Who are your heroes? Who are the people that you admire? What is it about them that we so wanted to be like them? Well, I remember one of my earliest heroes was the Lone Ranger. He stood up for the weak. He was strong enough to defeat the baddies, and he seemed to be around just exactly when he was needed. But when I grew a bit older in youth fellowship as a young Christian, I saw the example of godly men and women, and I was motivated not to hero worship, but rather to imitate those qualities I admired in them. Mary Liddell, who showed how to care and encourage with short notes of written encouragement, just handed into your hand or tucked into your Bible. And then there was Leslie Roworth, who showed how to be wise in his quiet but firm manner with young men who were enthusiastic, but unschooled in how to be gracious. Even now, I see how God gives us examples of how we can live as active Christians. If you are looking for an example of how to be welcoming and encouraging, then you need look no further than the example left for us by Jim McIntosh. These are the kind of people who reflect what Paul was saying to Timothy in verse 10. But you know from watching me that I am not that kind of person. You know what I believe and the way I live and what I want. You know my faith in Christ and how I have suffered. You know my love for you and my patience. When you look around yourself here this morning, who do you recognize as being people whose example we would do well to imitate? Who is there outside of this church fellowship? Perhaps some celebrated Christian like Nicky Gumbel, whose vision brought Alpha to help us to reach out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in small groups where it is possible to really get to know someone and share what it means to be an active Christian. If leadership were to ask you to mentor someone starting out as an active Christian, what would you be able to offer? Having said all of that, we reach verse 13 of our chapter, and we see how Satan can convince evil men, and sometimes women, to become false teachers, deceiving many because they themselves have been deceived. Paul carries on to remind Timothy to draw on those things which he has been taught, not only by Paul himself, but by his mother and grandmother, as well as Paul's missionary helpers like Silas and Barnabas. This is why it's so important to teach our young people the Bible stories that give strong moral teaching when their minds are open, as Eileen recognized in her work for SU here in the Northeast. Pray for Andy as he goes into the schools here in our part of the Bridge of Dawn. Pray for those active Christian teachers who we know, pray that they will show by their example what their values are. Pray especially for them, as it's becoming ever more difficult to witness to individual faith in a society where Christian traditions are being marginalized as being too narrow. School nativity plays being banned. Winter festivals and Xmas rather than Christmas as a celebration of the birth of Jesus. In answer to a question that you may be asking in your mind, you think, how can I tell what is false teaching and what is truth? To help answer that question and lead into the next piece of practical advice concerning living in contrast, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. And let me read from verse 10. Acts 17, verse. It says here, that night the Christians hurried Paul and Silas to Berea, and as usual they went to the synagogue to preach. But the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and gladly listened to the message. They searched the scriptures day by day to check up on Paul and Silas, to see if they were really the same as the scripture. As a result, many of them believed, including several prominent Greek women and men also. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching in Berea, they went over and stirred up trouble. The believers acted at once, sending Paul onto the coast, while Silas and Timothy remained behind. The Bereans accepted what Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Barnabas preached, but they checked two things. They checked what it said in the scripture they had available to them, and they observed to see if the words that were spoken matched the attitudes and actions of those who spoke them. I want to draw your attention to the vital importance of verse 16, where it says, "Every scripture is given to us by inspiration from God and is invaluable to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone." Perhaps you could put up that list of the active Christian again, Graham. One of them was that an active Christian will set aside time to focus on God through Bible study, prayer, and reflection. I used to think it will be great when I retire. I'll have time to do all those things that work stops me from doing. But when I got there, I realized that what my colleagues used to say about not having time to work anymore was actually quite true. You see, the day fills itself. And unfortunately, what gets brushed out often in our lives, it's the time taken to focus on God through Bible study and prayer. If we are to be active Christians, living in contrast to the ungodliness of our society, we need to set aside time. If we don't, then we are missing the inspiration and the guidance that we read about in verse 16 and onward. I used to do a fair bit of taking photos on slide film and then developing the film myself. I still have an active interest in photography, but I have found over time that I don't have the eye to take photos that stand out. Another thing I learned about in the art of photography and in digital photos in particular is the importance of highlight and shadow. In the early days, you got one shot at whatever you were taking, and then you had to wait until the prints or the slides came back from the likes of Max Spielman, etc., to see where you had been successful and where you hadn't. Some pictures came back too dark, some came back too light, but now with digital photography, you can change and improve the pictures you have taken by adding what is missing. Less light, more shadow, more color, more light, less shadow. But my point here is this. Contrast makes all the difference in a picture because it adds definition, making the details of the picture clearer. Things once in shadow can have the light increased, banishing the blurred shadows and showing the detail that was previously unseen. Living in contrast means that with the light of Jesus in our lives, people looking at our living can see the detail of what we believe. Society at its worst shows up in the picture as people who are full of self-love, greed, pride, a lack of thankfulness, and most definitely a lack of holiness. Timothy and now ourselves here this morning are being urged to move from low contrast living to high contrast living. That is a life which shows clearly in whom we believe and by whose standards we live. The advice Paul gives Timothy to any modern day disciple is quite simple. Perhaps if you could put up that slide for me. Fine, thank you. Rely on faithful scripture-based teaching, testing what you hear, and believe against God's word to us through scripture and the Holy Spirit within us. I'm going to read that again because I mucked it up. Rely on faithful scripture-based teaching, testing what you hear and believe against God's word to us through scripture and the Holy Spirit within us. Secondly, show resilience and be steadfast in faith despite the tough circumstances and the deteriorating conditions around us in our day-to-day experiences. Our God is a God of grace and of mercy. He is waiting to forgive our confessed sin and pour the light of heaven into our souls so that we may indeed be light to a dark world. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Bill has spoken about contrasts